Ruth 4:13 to the conclusion. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, is better to you than 7 sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now this is the genealogy of Perez. And Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. And Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon. And Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz. And Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David. The Lord gave, it says in verse 18, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. The Lord gave, the Lord gives, the Lord gives conception, the Lord gives life, the Lord gives beginning, the Lord gives commencement. The Lord gives the birth of ideas. It is the Lord God who conceives. It is the Lord God who plans. And it is the Lord God who creates. We saw in Ruth chapter 1, the giving God. Our God is a giving God. Ruth 1 verse 6 tells us, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread." He visited his people. He came to see his people. He visited his people because he is a good God. He is a good friend. He loves his people. He came to his people to comfort his people. He came to his people to bless his people. He came good. He came to do good to his people. And how did he do good to his people? By giving. By giving them bread. By providing his people with the necessities of life. By giving. He gave bread, he gave the necessities of life. He gives his people provision because our God is the God that gives manna in the wilderness of this life. What is it that you need God to give to you? Those whom the Lord has given to, those who have been the recipients of his grace, of his graciousness, they become a giving people. They become a gracious people. The Apostle Paul told those who know of the graciousness of God, of the grace of God, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. We are to be a giving people. Turn back to Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. We see Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her. Boaz has been a giver throughout the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth is replete with people that are givers. You find God giving. You find Boaz giving. You find Ruth giving. Eventually, you even find Naomi giving. You see Obed giving. Boaz has been a giver throughout the book. Let us remember the giving of Boaz. Turn back to Ruth chapter 2, and we see a man that characterized his life. Boaz knew of the grace of God. His mother, Rahab, knew of the grace of God. Boaz had become a giver. And we see his giving starts in chapter 2, verse 4. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him back, "The Lord bless you." Boaz blessed his workers. He gave blessings. He was a man that gave blessings. Not only did he bless his workers, we see him now bless Ruth in verses 8 and 9. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women." Here's a man, he just meets Ruth. And what does he say? "Do not go and glean in another field. Stay close here by my young women." Verse 9, "Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them." Here he is, blessing, blessing. "Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you?" Here's a man showing protection for those around him. "Have I not told the young men not to touch you?" He's a protector, he's a blesser, he's a protector. "Go to the vessels and drink from them." He provides drink to those around him, those that he is blessing. He provides protection. He provides provision to Ruth. Then look in verses 13 and verse 16 of the same chapter. Then she said, she's talking to Boaz now, "Ruth, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for what you have comforted me." He was a giver. He comforted people. He was known as one that comforts people. "For you, my Lord, you have comforted me. And not only have you comforted me, but you have spoke kindly to me. Even though I was not like one of your maid servants, even though I was different then, even though I was a lesser then, even though I was a nobody, here you was, a great man in Israel, and yet you came to me and said, 'I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you protection. I'm going to give you provision because I know of the grace of Almighty God.' Grace blessed me. Grace blessed my mother. And now I am going to be gracious to you. I'm going to give to you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to be a giver." In verse 14 now. "Now Boaz said to her at mealtime," not only he comforted her, he says, "Come here and eat of the bread. Dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers. Here he is. Provides protection, provides food, then brings him in amongst the reapers, those that worked for him, those that were close to him. And she ate and she was satisfied. People that bless people, they cause satisfaction to happen in the lives of other people. They bring blessings. They're known as people that bless. Boaz blesses. That is his character. He's a blesser. Verse 16 of chapter 2. "And let grain," start at 15. I don't want to rob a blessing. "And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and don't reproach her. Let her have even more. Let her have over and above what the Lord dictates that I should give to a reaper, to a gleaner. Give her more than she deserves.'" That's what grace is, giving to people more than what they deserve. Giving them exactly, matter of fact, the opposite of what they deserve. And verse 16 tells us, "Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her." Purposely. Decreed by God, purposely. Let it fall purposely. Let the blessings fall purposely. Leave it that she may glean, and don't rebuke her. Don't let her even know that this blessing has been given to her. Don't even make her feel in the least way shamed at all. Just give her. Just bless her. Just give to her. Then he continues his giving in verse 10 of chapter 3. Look at verse 10. Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter." It was a man that blessed with his mouth. He gave jewels. He gave sapphires. He spoke blessings from his mouth. Blessings. Verse 10. Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, and that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich." Verse 11. "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." Somebody that blesses, that's what's in their heart. "Do not fear. I will do for you all that I possibly can." Those that bless, that's their attitude. Those that have been saved by grace, "I will do all for you that I possibly can." That was the heart of Boaz. Verse 13, "Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you. As the Lord lives, lie down until the morning. I will perform the duty for you." Blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Verse 13, verse 15. "Also he said, bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city." He gave of his sustenance. He didn't have to do any of the things except, as I mentioned, by the law, she had to be permitted to glean the outside of the field. That was it. That's all that the law demanded. Everything else about this man, he was a blessing. All he knew was blessing. Not only blessing to those around him, but blessing God by his obedience to what God says. He obeyed what God says in chapter 4. Then he said to the close relative, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." He showed how he blessed God. He obeyed God's law. He blessed the Lord back by his obedience to the law. Even though he loved Ruth, even though he wanted Ruth, yet he said, "I will obey the law first and foremost. There's another redeemer. I have to do this the right way." A blessing, a person that is a blessing, obeys the Lord of God. Obeys the law out of love for God, for blessing him. Boaz continues blessing in chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. "And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's." Here he is redeeming now. "And all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day." He not only blessed people one-on-one personally, he blessed the whole tribe. He blessed all the people. He wasn't singular in his blessing. Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife, verse 13 tells us. And that is the ultimate giving of a man. The giving totally of one self to another. The two shall be as one. The ultimate act of blessing for a man is to become one with a woman. Because it's not the man doesn't join his flesh with a woman and it's 50-50. It's 100% and zero. The man is to 100% give himself to his wife as Christ loved the church. He gave himself to her. He gives himself to her. Turn over to Genesis 2. We see God giving in the beginning. God giving in chapter 2, verse 18 of Genesis. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Here's God. He's under no obligation to bless. He's under no obligation to come to Adam. He could have left Adam with the elephants and the donkeys and the tigers and the zebras and the monkeys and everything else. But here's God. God gives. God gives. "I will make him a helper comparable to him." I will make him a helper comparable to him. The Lord created. The Lord gave conception. I will make. God gives. The Lord gives. Notice what he does in verse 21. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam." Once again, God caused it to happen. He's giving. The Lord gave. "And a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place." God caused a deep sleep. And notice in verse 22 and verse 23, "Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man." God made. God gave. God gave the woman. But notice, rib taken, man he had made, brought her to the man. Not only had the Lord gave, but verse 23 and 24 tells us that now Adam gives. Verse 23, "Now this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Adam gave. Adam gave his bone. Adam gave his flesh. Adam joined himself to the woman. One flesh. God gave. Adam gave. Adam gave to Eve. Boaz gave to Ruth. The Lord gave. Those whom the Lord gave to become givers. We are to be givers. But all of society today is just the opposite. You are trained from day one to take, to heap upon yourselves, young girls. Heap things for yourself. Get everything for yourself. And the Bible is just the exact opposite. And God gave. And Adam gave. And Eve gave. And Boaz gave. And Ruth gave. And Naomi gave. And Obed gave, and Christ gave, and we are to give. That is supposed to be characteristic of the children of God. The world is just the opposite. The goat says, "Give me." The sheep says, "No, I'm going to give to you." It's just the opposite. Turn back to Ruth 4, verses 13 and 14 once again. I mentioned the Lord gave. And the Lord basically is only in Ruth two places. In the beginning, he visits his people. And in the end, and he gave conception. He gave new life. He gave new beginnings. You see Boaz giving, Ruth giving. Look at verses 13 to 14 of chapter 4. "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her." So Boaz gives. The Lord gave her conception. Here's the Lord giving. Gives her conception. Gives her new life. Gives her beginnings. Gives her ideas. Conception. New beginnings. "And she bore a son." Verse 13. Then what happens? Then the women. Now the women join in. It's starting, the blessing is starting to grow. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day." Notice who they're speaking to. They're speaking blessings to Naomi. "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may His name be famous in Israel." Here's the women now, the women of the town, and what are they giving? They're giving prayer and they're prophesying over. Prayer and prophesying. The Lord give you this Redeemer, this one whose name will be famous in Israel. Did the Lord answer that prayer? Did that prophecy come to pass? Here we are, thousands of years later, talking about it. The Lord gives. Boaz gives. Ruth gives. The people in the town give. This whole book is about giving. The only death and destruction you see is in the first chapter with Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion. The rest of the book is nothing but the Lord gave, Ruth gave, Boaz gave, Naomi gave. Everybody is a giver in the book. It's not like the Dead Sea that's turned in upon itself, that just sits there and is dead. Because it doesn't, nothing goes out of it. In our Christian lives, if nothing goes out, it'll just be dead. We're to be givers. That is to characterize our lives. Blessed be the Lord who has not left you without a close relative, without a kinsman, without a goel, without a redeemer. Notice who the blessing is going to now. The blessing is going to Naomi. Do you remember Naomi? Turn back to Ruth chapter 1. For you that would feel as Naomi felt. The last that we saw of Naomi outside of Ruth bringing back a shawl full of barley. The last we saw of her, we saw in Ruth 1, verses 20 and 21. But she said to them as she returned to Bethlehem, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. For the Lord has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" Now here was a woman that was disobedient to God. She goes out full, comes back empty, confesses the Lord has dealt with her bitterly. She's become bitterly. The Lord has dealt with her very harshly for her disobedience. And she says the Lord has afflicted her. And He has made her miserable for her disobedience. But now, look at the grace of God. What does it say? What does it say in verse 14? Then the women said, verse 14, back in chapter 4. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may His name be famous in Israel." Notice, they were speaking now to Naomi, the one that was bitter because God had afflicted her. But notice the grace of God. Notice the grace of God. He comes to her in her bitterness, in her brokenness. And the women say, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may His name be famous in Israel." And look at verse 15. "And may He be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law loves you. And she is better to you than seven sons that has borne him." What a difference. Do you think that Naomi has found Psalm 30 to be true? Do you think this woman that had been afflicted, that thought that God would never change towards her, do you think that she might have found Psalm 30, verse 5 to be true? And you here today, if you would be as Naomi, I would remind you of the blessing that came to her eventually. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, "For His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life." Naomi found it to be true that God's anger with her was but for a moment. His favor is for life. Not only this life, but for all eternity. It's only for a moment. Those dark clouds of providence, that heavy hand of God when you're disobedient towards Him. It's only for a moment. Because grace always returns. His favor is for life. Brothers and sisters, if you would be as Naomi, know that weeping may endure for a night. For a night. But joy comes in the morning. Here was Naomi who had been bitter. And now it says that one has come to her, restorer of life, the one that would make her firm again, firm in the faith. She had been wavering in her faith. All she seen was the dark clouds of providence and God's hands against her. And now, a restorer of life means one that makes one firm again, brings back to health, brings back, gives back, raises up. God's chastening hand is but for a moment. And then joy comes in the morning. And not only was the child to Naomi a restorer of life, but a nourisher of old age. The blessing eventually came to her, the blessing that would bring her provision, that would bring to her sustenance, that would bring to her sustaining power, promoting growth in her life. And not only does the girls, the women said to Naomi, this Redeemer has come to you. He's going to be famous, going to be a restorer of life, a nourisher of your old age. And what does it say? For your daughter-in-law, who loves you. Your daughter-in-law, who loves you. Here was a woman. Her daughter-in-law loved her. And she loved her so much, it says, who is better to you than seven sons who has borne him. And seven sons is symbolic in the scriptures for a perfect, complete family. Seven is the number for perfection, for completeness. And you wanted sons to work the field. You didn't want necessarily women that needed a son to take her. Seven sons, in the Jewish eyes, that was top. Maybe one woman, maybe she'll bring the Messiah. So seven men and a woman, that was your best hope. Hopefully the seven men will work the field and the woman will have the Mashiach. And you was absolutely blessed. Verse 16 says what? Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. The Lord gave to Naomi. Now here's the one that had been bitter. Right? The one that had been afflicted. And what does it say? What does it say now about Naomi? The Lord gave to Naomi, and now what happens? Naomi does what? Verse 16. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Now here's Naomi finally becoming a blessing to other people. Finally. In chapter 1, she's bitter, she's afflicted. Don't call me pleasant no more. Call me, I'm bitter. And now we see she's a nurse. Nurses build up. They support. They're firm. They're faithful. They're permanent. They're faithful. They're sure. They're trusted. The bitter one, the afflicted one, now becomes a trusted, faithful, supporting, building up person. Lord blesses. Naomi blesses. Ruth blesses, Boaz blesses. And who does Naomi nurse? Look what it says in verse 17 of the same chapter. Also the neighbor women gave him a name. So here's the women still blessing. They give him a name. Notice the word gave. They're given. They're blessing. That's what blessing is. Giving. That's what grace is. Giving. There is a son born to Naomi. Notice what it says. There's a son born to Naomi. Not there's a son born to Ruth. There's a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Obed. Obed means the worshiping servant. His name means servant. Brothers and sisters, Obed really is the key to understanding the book of Ruth. The name Obed, not Ruth, not Boaz, not Naomi, the name Obed. Obed is the key. His name is servant. Obed is named servant. A servant. The Lord said for a reason, if you would be great in His kingdom, to serve one another, to wash the feet of others, to love another, to lay down your life for another. Obed, a servant, is one who works for another, to be of service to another. That's what the book of Ruth is all about. God in service to His people. He visits His people. Then God in service arranging all the circumstances to take place, down to the famine, down to the relief of the famine, bringing her to the certain field to labor, bringing Boaz. The Lord gave. He's serving people. Boaz, servant. Service, to be of service, to wait on another. To promote the interest of another. Your concern should be the person to the right of you or to the person of the left of you. Not you. That's what a servant is. He promotes the interest of another. He satisfies the requirements that are necessary for another to help that other one. How can I help you? He performs the duties connected with. That is what the servant does. He offers to bring food, to bring drink, to bring the guest to the table. It was the Pharisees that wanted to be at the front of the table. But David said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. King David. Who's, it says he's going to be on the throne. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. That's what a servant is. A servant is the word service, which means slave. A bond servant, a bond slave. Aiding others, assisting others, attending to others, ministering to others. That is what the book of Ruth is about. And do you know that Obed is only mentioned 11 times in the Bible? And it basically only mentioned in genealogies. And as I said, about the key to understanding it is Obed. The Jewish people didn't lift up a servant any more than we do today. That's why you don't hear anybody here know any Obeds. I don't see a hand raised in the congregation. His name means servant. The Jewish people, they named their children Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Elijah, Solomon, David, Jeremiah, Isaiah. How many Obeds? I don't know of no Obeds. Because Obed is a servant. The servant's not known. We're not to be known here. If God makes you known, that's God's business. Your attitude to be down, out of the way, cleaning the toilet, ministering somewhere no one knows nothing about. No one knows about your giving. No one knows about your service. No one knows about this. No one knows that. You're not to be putting your horn about what I did and what I'm going to do and I think I'm going to do. It's the one that's down there cleaning the feet of the AIDS victim that no one knows nothing about. That's not looking for nothing. That's in the prison house where no one knows. In the hospital where no one knows. But I think that's what the Lord says when He's identifying the sheep and the goat. He didn't say, wow, you could really preach, dude. Come on in here. He had nothing to say about that. If you notice where he talks about sheep, it's all servile things. You clothed the naked. You fed the poor. You went to this one, you went to that one, you helped this one, you did that one, you blessed. You took the book of Ruth seriously and said, you know, God's been so gracious to me, what else can I do but to be gracious in return? You want me to sum up the Bible for you? Jesus, God through Christ redeems you. He's gracious to you, and then you live a life of gratitude in response to that. That's it. Serving somebody else. We get all wrapped up in all this other stuff, and at the end of the day, it's you laying down your life for other people. And like I said, the world is the exact opposite of that. This is about you. You get this now. It's all about you. And that's why I said that's the key to understanding the book of Ruth. And Boaz knew it. Ruth knew it. Like I said, Boaz knew it to his mother, Rahab, the harlot that was redeemed, that was brought into the covenant. His mama told them about the grace of God. Boaz knew that grace, and he showed that grace to the Moabitess, that he had no business. He didn't have to bless her. By law, clean the field. That's it, girlfriend. Get out of here. Get your grain and hit the road. But what does he do? He blesses her. And what does Ruth do? She blesses. And what does Naomi eventually do when she sees God's graciousness to her? Here she is restored, being nourished. And what does she do? Now she takes Obed and nurses him and raises him up and teaches him the things of God. And Obed is a servant. And we are called to be servants. In Ruth, we see Yahweh, God, serving the people. We see Ruth serving, Boaz serving, the townspeople serving. In Ruth, we see the grace of God. We see the chesed of God, His loving, covenant, kindness, and love towards an individual. We see the providence of God. We see the sovereignty of God. We see the Lord giving, and as a result, a giving people. Ruth is about givers. We're called as Christians to be givers. Eventually, King David comes down through this very line, through the loins of Obed. King David, the line of Christ, you see over in Matthew 1, the genealogy. The genealogy is there to show you, no matter what kind of sinner you are. In Matthew 1, you see Rahab is in there. Bathsheba is in there. Tamar is in there. Wicked women. But yet, they're in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. You see great men, great women, low women, low men. But with God, everybody's in the same boat, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And those that are saved by grace, realize that. And Christ would eventually come through this line, who was the ultimate giver. As we are about to close this book, let me show you a couple places where God gave, and then ultimately Jesus Christ gave. Because no greater love does a man or a woman have than this, to lay down their life for another. Christ gave. What does it tell us in John 3:16? For God so loved the world, what? That He gave. He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believed in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. God gave. When you're watching that football game and you see that John 3:16 go up, that's what it says. For God so loved the world that He gave. That He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His only Son. Only begotten Son. The nearest thing that He could possibly give. The most precious thing in His sight. The ultimate act of giving. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, Jews, Gentiles, black, white, Asian, it doesn't matter, that whosoever believeth on Him, Jesus Christ, would not perish. So the opposite of that is, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you will perish. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but would have eternal life. That is God giving. He gives the Messiah. And not only does He give the Messiah, in Acts 11, verse 18, something goes along with that giving. Acts 11, verse 18 tells us, when they heard these things, they became silent. And they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted or given to the Gentiles repentance unto life. When the Father gives new life to a person, He gives them the power to repent of their sins. He granted to the Gentiles repentance unto life. When a person becomes born again, regenerated, the Holy Spirit brings new desires and He brings you the power to repent. If you do not repent, you do not have the power of new life dwelling in you. You do not just simply believe, you live a life of repentance day by day, moment by moment. Because God has also given repentance. He gives those eternal life who believe, and He gives repentance to those that believe. Christ, we see ultimately giving. Galatians 1, the ultimate giver. Galatians 1, the Father gave His Son, but Christ gave something even more. He gave Himself in Galatians 1, verses 3 and 4. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age. You see, there's the repentance that comes along with it. He delivers you. He redeems you. He gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God. Notice, He gave Himself for our sins. The only one that could give Himself for our sins, because He was the only one that was qualified, because He was sinless, and He fulfilled the law. He met every requirement of the law, because the law says, cursed is the man or the woman who does not continue in all things that are written in the law, but blessed is the man or woman that keep all of those things. And the only one that has kept it is Jesus Christ. And He gave notice. He didn't give some money. He didn't give some time. He gave Himself. He gave His life. Boaz, all he had to do was go down to the gate and say, I'm going to take this woman, I'm going to redeem her for some land. That was an honor that he had as a go out, as a redeemer. But Christ had to give Himself. He had to die. And not does it only say that He has gave Himself, that He would deliver us. In Galatians, the same book, look at chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. This is Paul speaking. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. What? And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Why? How is that possible? How can you live that life? Who loved me and He gave Himself for me. And if you truly believe that He has given Himself, His life for your life, then that is the way your life is supposed to be, one of giving to others. He's a giver. Turn to Titus 2, 14. I got a couple more cross references, and then this will be coming to a conclusion. Titus 2, verse 14. Who gave Himself, notice again, This is three cross references. He gave Himself for us. For what purpose? That He might redeem us. That's what a goel does. He redeems a person. He buys them back from death, from slavery to sin. He redeems us from what? Every lawless deed. And He does what? He purifies for Himself His own special people. And His own special people, it says, that they're zealous for good works. There it is. He tells you what He's done. He's given Himself for us. He's redeemed us from every lawless deed. He's purified us for Himself. We're His special people. And we, as a result, we're zealous for good works. Redemption, a life of gratitude in response for that. We see Christ giving in His high priestly prayer in John 17. We see the Father giving. We see Christ giving. All it is back and forth. Given, given, given. The Father gave, I give. The Father gives, I give, I give. He gives, I give. That's what our life is supposed to be, brothers and sisters. Verse 4, 6, 8, 12, and 22 of John 17. Verse 4. I have glorified You on the earth. I have finished the work which You have given Me to do. The Father gave Christ the work to do. He finished the work that He was decreed to do, ordained to do. God has ordained every one of us. You've been saved by grace for what? For the works that's been prepared here beforehand, before the foundation of the world. Verse 6. I have manifested Your name to the men whom You have given Me out of the world. Christ made the Father's name known. We're to make the Father's name known. Christ's name known. I've manifested Your name to the men, what? Whom You have given Me out of the world. The Lord, the Father, has given Christ a men and women out of this world. They were Yours. You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. Nothing but given. Blessing. Verse 8. For I have given them the words which You have given Me. You are to give men and women the words that You have from the Father, the words from the Scripture, you're to give. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Your name. Those whom You gave Me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, in order that so that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. The Father will finish the work. Christ will finish the work that He has started, for it has been given. That gift is not getting returned. You're a gift. You've been given to Jesus Christ by God the Father. You're a gift from the Father to the Son. And the Father's not an India giver saying, forgive me if that's not politically correct to say an Indian giver. That's an old term from the past. That it means I gave you a gift and now I'm going to take it back from you. The Father gave you. With all of your sins, all your wickedness, all your struggles, all of everything, all about you. Christ knows about it. The Father knew about it. But yet, He gave you to His Son. Because He chose to. He decreed it to be so. And in closing, verse 22. And the glory which You gave Me. Now, meditate on this verse this week. And the glory which You gave Me, the glory that the Father gave to Jesus Christ, to the Son, and the glory which You gave Me, I have given them. The glory that was given to Jesus Christ, it says that He has given that to you, that they may be one just as we are one. The unity of the triune God. The unity of brothers and sisters throughout the world. The glory that the Scripture says is yet to be revealed. And the Lord gave. The book of Ruth is about the Lord gave. And I would ask you today, if you know that God has given you eternal life, that you would respond by giving your life all the days Jesus Christ, lovingly responding to His graciousness to you. Amen.